Last night, we have talked about the key points of cultivation and the foundation. That is primarily for individuals' practice. Tonight, we're going to talk about six types of harmonies, which is also fundamental requirement for group practice. The three virtues, as we mentioned last night, is the foundation for self-cultivation. Now we discuss tonight the foundation for group practice. First of all, the Sangha organization, the term Sangha, is defined as four people, mostly monks, stay together, live together, practice together, and follow the six harmonies. Then it's considered as a Sangha group, which is defined or set up by Buddha Sakyamuni in the ancient time. Actually, for layperson or home living monks and nuns, in either case, if Dharma practitioners live together and practice together, they need to follow the six harmonies so that group practice will be harmonious and beneficial to each one of them. The first harmony is common viewpoint, which means they have a common understanding about Buddha Dharma and common understanding or agreement about the whole group. This is the first harmony for group practice. Buddha Sakyamuni has actually personally achieved these two good merits, great merits. Number one is be always make all beings happy. And the second one was always join the merits and happiness of other people's virtues. And therefore, due to different types of beings and the capacity and their natures, so there are tremendous methods and even schools were established for the Buddhist practitioners. And that's why there are many methods and schools for Dharma practitioners. When group of people stay together, it forms or establish the so-called society. And for a peaceful, harmonious society, the important thing is harmony. They need to be synchronized in their viewpoint and value systems. If they do not share the same viewpoint, or share the same concepts, then harmony becomes impossible. And that's why the first has to be harmony, the next comes calm, and then comes peace of the mind, then comes tranquility or samadhi, and finally joy and happiness. Even in Confucianism, Confucius said the manners in behavior, its function, the important function of that is harmony. I remember a few years ago when I visited Peking to see Qing Dynasty's palaces. The three major palaces are three ancient structures. The first one, the title of that palace or the name is called the Great Harmony Palace. The second one, smaller in size, and is located behind this first palace, is called the Middle Harmony Palace. And the last one, is called the Complete Harmony Palace. So by the name, you can see that harmony is the key, is the spirit of the Qin Dynasty. Unfortunately, at the end of Qin Dynasty, when they lose harmony, they lose their dynasty. If they continue the original harmony, even today, we may still be the citizen of the Qin Dynasty and not a citizen of Republic China. Buddha Sakyamuni has given numerous teachings in numerous sutras and covers numerous methods. That is to fit into different types of human beings for their capacity, for their nature, and for their viewpoints. That's why there are so many different schools, and not to say branches from the schools. That's tremendous. Buddhism in mainland China has 10 major schools, and that is because the Chinese, ancient Chinese people have different likes or preferences, and therefore automatically forms 10 major schools. For example, the Flower Adorned School were formed by people who enjoy Flower Adorned Sutra and want to practice based on this one. And likewise, the wonderful Flower Sutra has formed their own school specializing in the wonderful Flower Sutra. So it is like an institute with a specialty, and it's not like a university with many different departments. Because if one do not concentrate in one particular method or teaching, but to cover, like most temples today, all kinds of teachings and all kinds of methods in one place, the possibility to become successful in spiritual area is almost none. In the ancient Chinese traditional teaching called the Three Characters Book, there's one statement said, the key of teaching, the importance of that is concentration. Therefore, for even average teaching, the concentration is highly important to learn the profound, subtle, and deep Dharma. How can we not use concentration? Among all the schools in Chinese Mahayana Buddhism, or Chinese Buddhism, the Pure Land School has less sutras compared with other schools. In ancient time, they only have three major sutras as their highest guideline. And then in modern time, two more sutras were added and make a total of five as major sutra for the Pure Land School. In the Qin Dynasty, layperson Wei Yuan, he added another one, added the universal goodness, activity, and vow, and great vow sutra chapter out of the Flower Dawn Sutra. Just add one chapter to make the fourth sutra in the Pure Land School. And then, in the early 1900s, the great spiritual power Bodhisattva sutra, which called a Complete Enlightenment Chapter of Great Bodhisattva, Great Spiritual Bodhisattva Sutra, actually is a chapter out of the Surangama Sutra, and pick this one out and make it a fifth sutra for the Pure Land School, and is given or provided by Most Venerable Yingguang. If we have two persons, both enjoy Pure Land School, one likes to chant the Infinite Life Sutra, the other life to chant, Amitabha Sutra. When these two get together, there'll be conflict. They cannot practice together. If two persons both enjoy Amitabha Sutra, but their understanding of the meaning of the Amitabha Sutra are different. One is based on OE, master. The other one, his understanding or her understanding is based on the interpretation from Venerable, Most Venerable Lian Shi. Then even doing the same sutra, due to different idea and understanding of the same sutra, they are going to have conflicts. And even for chanting Amitabha, the people already agreed. If one like to chant fast, and the one like to chant real slow, when these two people get together, they cannot practice together. That's why in the ancient China, in the Pure Land school and temple, the harmony of chanting the Buddha, or whatever method they all agreed, is in perfect harmonious condition. The moment you walk in that place, you can feel the tremendous harmonious are in a group practice. It is inconceivable. Unfortunately, today, in one temple, one place, there are numerous teachings provided by different teachers and numerous sutras involved as well. That makes even Buddha feel difficult. And how can we practice all methods, all teachings, and still have harmony? Therefore, the first harmony is to have complete agreement or in understanding, to have complete viewpoint about the practice, about the understanding toward Buddha Dhamma. The first harmony is complete agreement in viewpoint and goal. If the viewpoint and goals are different, it would be better to separate them rather than force them to be together, because otherwise there will be conflicts. It is not how many people we can have, it is how harmonious the members of the groups are. That's why the system established by Buddha is so great and so flexible that individuals do not lose their individuals' preferences. In the sutra, the story talk about Madame Waitishi. She was a queen. Due to personal and family trouble, she wanted to leave this world. For that reason, Buddha Sakyamuni showed her numerous pure lands of different Buddhas worlds. Buddha Sakyamuni did not show one pure land and said, that's the place you should go. Rather, Buddha has showed her all pure lands of different Buddhas and let her decide which one is the best one to herself. On the contrary, average human beings has a tendency to grab people to do things that we think is the best. If we can make it, grab people to our group, but due to differences in the viewpoint and opinions, there's going to be conflict, and the group will not be harmonious. Therefore, those who like to recite chanting Amitabha need to get together for chanting Amitabha. Those who like to do Zen Buddhism's approach and practices need to stay together. And those who enjoy Vajrayana Buddhism need to stay together. We should not have this intention, try to grab others and join our group, make our organization bigger and larger. This is very incorrect. Therefore, the importance is If we have people have complete agreement in viewpoint and goals, then this group, no matter how small, it is very strong and very harmonious. The second harmony is harmony in precepts and jointly observed by all members. And that is basically the common rules to be shared by all members of that organization. For a Buddhist group, of course, the fundamental precepts has to be in this common precept to be shared. Therefore, for the lay person group, the five precepts must be in that common precepts. And for the monk or nun or monastery group, then the bhikkhu and bhikkhuni, their precepts need to be in that common precepts of that organization. In addition to that, there are other common rules and regulations needed for this particular group should also be added. And that is so-called the daily agreement, which is only applicable to that group. And after all these rules and the regulation plus fundamental precepts discussed among members, agreed among members, they need to be observed by all members without exception. And of course, this Buddhist group and their rules and precepts must also in agreement with the law of the country. With this understanding and this agreement, then nobody in the group has different position than others. It is truly democratic society. Nobody has special privilege over others. The third harmony is physical harmony such that they can live together. This is in order to have people practice together day and night, and not just to offer a place so people can escape the responsibilities from the society. Today, due to improvement in material world and facilities, there are some places each member has their own suite. I'm afraid with this kind of approach, we do not obtain the physical harmony. We are deviating from the spirit of physical harmony. Because human beings, since time without beginning, their minds are so confused. At the daytime, when people are together, we are trying to behave ourselves. At the nighttime, if we have individual suites with door closed, we may forget what we're supposed to do, become either lazy or do something not supposed to. And therefore, the merit accumulated at the daytime may be lost at nighttime. That's because individuals do have this kind of comical obstacles deep inside everyone's heart. And that's why in the Kristagaba Sutra, one statement said, all sentient beings, in every single movement, in every single thought, is basically creating bad karma or creating sin. Very seldom to have pure mind. Therefore, this physical harmony talk about to live together. So at the daytime, one monk watch the other. At nighttime, they still, in a way, watch each other. So nobody become sloppy or anything. And their rules and regulations actually tougher and more strict than military soldiers. Only through this kind of serious practice and close living environment, in harmony that a man's bad habits can be transformed. However, Buddhism are always flexible. There are a few exceptions. The abbot, due to his high position and responsibility to the temple, has his own suite, so to speak, but it's not the suite of today's suite, very small. That's why the abbot has a term in Chinese called fangzang, which means a small place. That's all he can have. And also, person who in charge of all kinds of miscellaneous jobs for the temple, due to their schedule is busy, such as go to bed late and causing problems to other people. Therefore, he will have his own place. And of course, those old age or very ill, they need to separate themselves from the group. They have their individual places to sleep. The rest people, without exception, practice together, sleep together on a big, flat floor. The fourth one is harmony in speech without argument or debate. Human beings can make easily a speech come through the speech. That's why ancient time people said illness oftentimes appear from things going into the mouth. Trouble oftentimes occurs when things coming out of the mouth. And there's another statement by the ancient people. They said, more speech, more trouble. In the Pure Land School, there's also a famous statement saying, cut down or cut short one statement, chant more Buddha name. Therefore, the less speech one makes, the better. And preferably, no speech at all. I'd like to give you an example. When I was in Los Angeles, my disciple or friend's children, a child in the seniors in the high school, he attended 3-day Japanese Zen practice in the Zen center. Actually, the Zen master already passed away. It's the disciple continue the Zen practitioner with a lot of American followers. That was the summertime. And the kid feel excellent. He liked to go back again in the winter because they have achieved this harmony of harmony in speech. Actually, there was no talk at all. Their rules are like the following. After breakfast, you can take a walk, and then 8 o'clock sitting in the Zen hall until 11:30. After lunch, go back to the Zen hall, sit at 1:30 until 5:30. And then, after some break, start sitting again at evening time, 7:30 till 9:30. From day till night, not even one speech, one talk, and continue such practice for 3 days. And this young kid feel tremendous joy from within, without any speech, and he liked to go back again. This is a good example of harmony in speech without argument. In this example, there was not even a speech. How could there be argument? There should be no scattered mind and idle talks. So for traditional Buddha name chanting place, the ideally it should be only one sound of Amitabha chanting, with or without sound, but no other talks. In the Vajrayana practitioner of Vajrayana place or temple, the whole day should be the sound of mantra chanting and nothing else. In all my lifetime, I only see one great master who is my original teacher, one of the original teachers. The Vajrayana great master, Zhang Jia Dasi. I noticed from day till night. His mouth always doing chanting without sound. You can see the lips moving, but nothing coming out. He's doing the vajra chanting on mantra and non-stop from day till night. Only when the time comes you need to talk to people, he will stop chanting the mantra. As soon as the speech is finished, he soon returned to his vajra chanting of mantra. When we came to visit him, he will keep doing this. The lips moving, the sound doesn't come out, mantra continues. But there's no talk or speech. He is looking at us eye to eye and no speech. He wants us to settle down our wandering mind. Then he will open his mouth and give us some short talk. And open time, he only talked about three, four words in 2 hours. Not much. However, every single word came out of his mouth seems to have over 1,000 pounds of weight. It's so heavy that you cannot forget for the rest of your life. For the Buddha name chanting place, it should be, ideally, it should be no talk at all. Even not in the Buddhist temple, in the individual's house, one should try to remain total silence. Then we can marching chanting practice. If one wants to obtain Buddha name chanting samadhi sooner, then one need to cut off the speech as much as one can. The fifth harmony is harmony of a harmony of the heart. When one practices properly, the joy will come automatically, which is the beginning result of proper practice. If we practice Buddha Dhamma and still not happy or joyful, then it's either we have incorrect philosophy or theory, or we have incorrect methodologies. Otherwise, the happiness and joy were bound to happen, had to occur. As a matter of fact, if you practice properly, the joy and peace will come on a daily basis, and you'll feel more happy and much freer every day. But if you do not have such experience of daily happiness and freedom, that means your practice has some trouble or problem, and therefore you need to examine yourself and your method and your mentality carefully to find out what's wrong in your practice. And find that out and make corrections. The happiness and joy and peace will automatically occur. Buddha Dhamma, its practice is in daily life, in interfacing with different people and in different situations of daily life. We are practicing our pure mind, we are practicing the establishment of proper views and understanding. We're practicing realization and not confusion. Therefore, in daily life, no matter good person you meet or the bad person you meet, no matter very convenient in favorable conditions or very unpleasant conditions you are in, these are the cases that we can remove or eradicate bad karma and increase our wisdom. Therefore, we're supposed to be very happy in daily life in any situation when meeting anybody. And therefore, we will increase our happiness from Dhamma. If everybody feel the same, then the fifth harmony of happiness of the heart will be shared by this whole group. The sixth harmony is harmony in equally sharing the profit. This is deal with the material life for the members of the Sangha. In ancient time, the income for a temple usually come from two sources or both. First one is donation from the country or emperor. Second one is donation from knowledgeable